Blog Talk Radio.
For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
I bow before your throne. I never am alone. I know you share your love to me. Protect and keep.
For these words are true and faithful. Revelation 21 and 5.
I bow before your throne.
Before your throne, oh.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to your place. Tonight we have our very own Blog Talk Mom, and we're taking a look at how music is a tool that is pleasing to God. Was David a man after God's own heart because of his music? Oh, no. Did we open up the door for Psalms 119? God has blessed Sister Bobby Lively to write songs and sing songs and has been used to lead worship services in many churches. When she became the Rappin' Granny, we reached out to her to do something on our show. At that time, she shared how God blessed as only God can in the production of the album. But tonight, we're looking at the message of these songs and the biblical seeds that are being planted in a group of people that many churches have ignored. Many people love seafood, while Bill hates to even smell it. So why serve Bill seafood to try to satisfy his hunger when he is not going to eat it? When reaching out to the lost, we need to be aware that their word and what speaks to them is a lot different than the people raised in church. Life for many is much worse than we want to imagine. But Jesus is still what's missing in their life. We pray that this encourages others to not feel the need to copy other people's ministry. Do not limit God to not using you in a way that he does not fit the norm. Lyrica Lively can tell you years later of what it means to look back at this process from the beginning till today. Sometimes your gift may cause you to be stretched into uncomfortable positions. You may be tested with people wanting you to commercialize your gift with logic of how it will expand your outreach. We are not sure what Sister Lively will feel to share with us tonight about this process, but we feel very blessed to have her in our life, as well as helping us with this show every week. Now, let's have a listen.
Hello, Sister Wonderful Starla and my wonderful son. I have so many names. Sometimes people think I have more than one son, but we'll call him Wild Bill tonight. And thank you so much. This is a great, deep, loving honor that you would let me take your program that you work so hard for and share some of the thoughts that the Lord has laid on my heart about the rap and my testimony that would, as you had mentioned, how God progresses in our lives and takes us to different places, different seasons in our life. And it's really exciting to reflect on it today and to be able to share it. The basic thing about it all is that it is the Word of God. It's in a form, it's a different, I think, actually it is a form all its own. I don't know of anything that really compares to this, but also it has the typical rhyme and rhythm that's been used through centuries for everything. And while Bill and I were speaking earlier today about how many commercials in our past that we still remember because they had a little jingle that went along with it. And I have one for some reason. It comes back to me each time I brush my teeth because I do still use that kind of toothpaste. So I think that's amusing to go to a set of scriptures, though, and just read them, and then we will go on into the different stories or background to the rap that we have. I deeply appreciate the song that you started with. Brother Jordan Hewlett in studio has been a tremendous blessing to me. Very patient, very kind. He's done all of the work that had to be done to copyright and get things in place. And he is just generous, talented, gifted, very, very consecrated. I don't know if everybody knows the beautiful saxophone that was playing in that first song, but that was him playing the saxophone. He also does a beautiful job. But I want to go to a scripture. It's in John 15, 1 through 8. and that's a lot, but I'm going to read it. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. And I will allude to the fact that one of the lines in one of the rap is, without the vine, what are the chances? Okay, back to the word. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, again and again, these scriptures, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. I, at my age, have come into a season where it is remarkable when I teach a Bible study to people outside the church, people that have been maybe had some church experience. They do not understand the vocabulary at all of the Word of God. Even with a sweet and a humble heart, as they go and attend a service, and the preacher begins to preach and use the analogies that are in the Bible, the illustrations, this right here. These are illustrations that God used that we could understand. But the people that have not been in church and have been totally in another, what we will call the world, and its jargon and its way of doing things, they don't understand it. They cannot connect the dots. So God is telling us loud and clear, give out the word of God mostly by example. Live a life so full of God's word and God's spirit that people will, they will hunger and thirst after what we have. Not that we're anything, but Christ in us is everything. So when God gave me this particular way, I was just really amazed as anyone. I really was. In fact, I may have had an arrogance about the idea of it being called wrath. But we don't see as God will see something. We may see someone along the road, and we draw a conclusion because they're not working or they're walking or whatever. That is really, really dangerous. When anyone is out there and does not know God, we are to be a light that they can see to walk towards God, and we're to be the salt that will bring a flavor to their life and an appetite to know more about him. And I am so thrilled that he gave me this, because each subject is about subjects that I taught for years as I was blessed to be, I think, everywhere. The Lord let me be an evangelist and a teacher, once a pastor. I'm not saying that I would get any big golden stars or anything like that, but I would not share that experience for anything the world has. When we live for God, when we live for God and we get into his word and we begin to let him unfold it and breathe it into us, and then it's anointed by the power of the Holy Ghost, and you begin to see and your faith is built. And we'll talk about that with one of the songs, Stand Up for Jesus. And I have such a tremendous story about that, but it's about Ephesians 6. That's what he said. Stand. When you've done it, stand. Stand for God. I guess I'll go ahead and say it right now. But it was at a meeting. I was invited to a church. It was in a big auditorium. And there was a young man that was sitting against the wall. I didn't know any of the people there, so I didn't know anything about his story. And there were many songs and many things that were done, displayed. And when mine came on, I really felt very inferior compared to the tremendous talent and ability that was around me. And I began to sing, stand up for Jesus, stand up. If you want to be somebody God can depend on, stand up. And about halfway through it, it goes into the armor of God, putting on the armor of God, taking it up. And the little boy, the young man, he's about 12, he had been slumped over. And all of a sudden, he stood up in the middle of that rap. And you could see the glory of God do a work that only God could have done. His best friend had been murdered that week. And he was with him. And it was just a trauma. And I'm saying that to say this. Oh, yes, you can watch news. You can find something violent and something sick. And if you got an appetite for it, you'll even look it up in some kind of entertainment, which is overwhelming to me to think about that. But God's got a word of love, joy, peace. He's got a word of long-suffering and goodness and meekness and temperance. And that's the fruit of the Spirit of God when it dwells within us. We can love beyond our own natural abilities. We can have a joy in the midst of every kind of thing that's going on. And I'm not saying that there's not a time to grieve and that there's not things in our life that we do. They're very real. It's not a mind over matter, all of that mess. But I'm saying it's a joy unspeakable, and it's full of the glory of God that we know, according to His word, we can make it. And then we can tell others, not just with a few words, not with some type of rhetoric or whatever, but through our life and through the Spirit of God flowing through us. So, again, this is what I saw that for myself with that rap. And I'm just amazed at how so many stories that I could share. So I want to, whatever you would want to play now, there's one other scripture here. In Joel 3:13, it says, "Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fat is overflowing, and their wickedness is great." Revelation 14:15. "And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle." Now, a lot of people may have never had that much to do with a farm or whatever, and not that I did. But I'll tell you what God is saying in that. It's time for us, we, as that witness of the mighty power of the living God, to be a light to every person we meet. And we cannot do that unless we stay in His presence and drink from that fountain, that water that never will go away. That was another, at some point, I wanted to mention about Jesus. He said, "I needs go by Samaria," the group that was most hated. But He came by that well that day. And when He did, that woman was so changed, so blessed, so filled with that living water. She was out there winning her whole city or town or whatever village to the Lord. And it'll be the same for us. You don't hide your light under a bushel. And that bushel can be worldliness, it can be anxiety, it can be all the things that God took us and individually, He took our needs and He took the pain and He took it upon Himself. And He said, "It's finished," and He came out of that grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave. There's no weapon formed against us that can overcome us. And we must know that by the word of God and the witness of His Spirit. Now, I will be quiet a moment. And what particular rap would you want to play?
Well, one thing I thought we ought to do is I want to explain to everybody, you wasn't in your 20s when you decided to start doing rap music. You wasn't even in your 30s when you started doing the rap music. You were 74 years old when all of a sudden you started doing the rap music. But music was something I was sharing with Blog Talk Mom earlier. You talk about being a teaching tool and everything. I had a test and I was having to learn. I was in a Kenny Murphy's World History or what it was, and I was having to learn some different things about changes in continents. And there was a thing where there was a country that it was Constantinople, and it changed to Istanbul. And I couldn't remember that. I kept getting it backwards, which one was which. And so Mom had this little song she sang to me. How'd it go, Mom? It's Istanbul, not Constantinople.
Yes.
Now. And that has still stuck in my head since I was a little kid. And so, but her music didn't start with what we have here with the rap. And so I thought we would go back a few years. Now, when did you have your shortwave radio show? How old were you then?
It was it's been about 24, 25 years ago, I guess. I'm terrible about dates. But it was during a time that radio was really, you know, a big thing, and maybe still is, but it doesn't seem to be for me. And I was doing just a local station there in Nashville, and then I realized that it was available also that I do a worldwide radio program. So it went worldwide, and I think it was 1996 or 98 or something like that. And I loved it. It was just an opportunity. It was walking through the land of promise. And that God had laid that on my heart for years. And then the broadcast, we would take a promise, and then we would walk through that with Christ for revelation and to apply it to us. So go ahead. I didn't mean to take too much time with
you. Oh, you're fine. I just wanted to pick a song for. I was thinking it was actually back in the 80s. So it shows I could either, I'm probably off about 10 years, but it seemed to me like that was a time frame when it was. But whenever it was, 80s, 90s, I want you to hear a taste of what the music was then compared to what you're going to hear to what it is now. Because a lot of people think that all of a sudden that, you know, Lyrical Lolly just came out of nowhere because of this, but that's not really true. She's been teaching, preaching, leading song services, writing songs. That first song we played, she wrote that song. And then, like she said, with Brother Hewitt, he helped her put together, did the music, and arranged it. What a blessing he's been. You know, you can't have music if you don't have lyrics and music, you know, and it takes, and he was the music part of this whole thing. And so we do want to give honor to where honor's due for the things that he's done on this. But this is going to take you back a few years when they had the worldwide radio show and let you hear this a little bit different to what the music was then.
You know the sun will shine.
I love hearing that, I guess, because it's special to me because it's my mama. But I just, your voice and what you put into it. I have one more song from back at that time I wanted to play that I felt like really described your heart of ministry back during that time. So here we go.
Thank you.
Well, almost can't talk, and you're just thinking about the heart of God, what He wants us to be. We keep talking about the end time and all the people that are lost and hurting out there in the world. Did you have anything you wanted to say before we actually went into the first rap song, Blog Talk Mom?
I really appreciate you offering that on your broadcast. It's interesting in my life how I didn't really have any goals or ambitions to be a singer or anything like that. I did deeply desire to be able to play the piano. And I've told the story many times, very briefly, that I was told by numerous people I would never play. I tried, they said, no, you'll never play. I met one lady that said, she heard how I wanted to, and she said, you will. If you want to, you will. And my point in this is, if we want to be a witness for God, if we want to be that yielded vessel, we will. We don't have to do something that is bizarre or whatever. You don't have to rap. I mean, seriously though, I'm being a little bit cute right there, but we can be what God has died so that we could be, a vessel of honor for God. And there was several situations in my life, and I don't recommend people just being foolish and just going without being directed by the Spirit of God, but it'll be rare that God will put you with something, some situation, that He's not going to move with you and for you, for that person. And then even if you don't ever see any kind of results from it in this world, there's results for it for eternity. Because again, about that Jesus taught, he told you, go forth, sow the seed. The seed is the word of God. Well, we're not going up and down the street sowing corn seed or peach. It's the word of God. That means that we are to be prepared, have it with us, have the vessel ready, and be able to sow it. And he told us to be some hearts that are hard, just like this ground that's hard. You sow it, it doesn't do anything. The devil comes and gets it. And then it goes on to different stages, but that last one are those that the word is choked out, the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world. What are we in right now? The cares of this world. Choke the word, and then it's unfruitful. We don't want it to be choked in us, or in any situation that God would place us in, that we can be that light. And it is so rewarding, not only now, but for eternity. These are eternal directions that the Lord has given us. And I had no goal or ambition for any of it. The day that I did that you played while Bill, I had visited, I asked someone if they knew anyone I could get it actually it was a cassette, however it was done. And this man was leaving the church that day. He was going to pack everything up that day, but he still had his equipment there. I had never met him before. He didn't know me. I went in a room. He put a microphone in front of me. We didn't practice it. I did it, and then God made it work. My point is, don't look at your limitations. Don't even let the enemy do that. And I tell this story so many times. When my parents moved to Detroit, I was 11, whatever, 12, and we had gym class, which I had never had gym class. And in Little Rock, I don't know what the situation was, but this woman that was teaching, was my guard in, at the basketball thing. I know she went, no, but she probably went to the Olympics. She was very good. And I just wanted to give her the ball, you know, the basketball. I did, oh. And but the lady that was on my team would get behind there, and she would look at me, and she'd tell me later, she said, don't look at her. Don't look at the distraction. Look at me. And keep your, just get, keep watching and throw the ball to me. And every time I did that, she made a basket. The Spirit of God, God Almighty, is saying, come on, give these struggles to me. Give these things, these talents, these gifts, these abilities, and we'll have results. We'll make a best. And it's, I'm naturally using that as a, an illustration. So, again, thank you, Rob Bill, for that. Those are just some thoughts that came to me. I will say that when I was trying to decide whether to get on YouTube or how to do anything about that, I was looking at it because I had seen some things I was not really pleased with and interested in at all. And there was this little cassette tape with those songs on it. I had no idea. The man had been in Germany with what his testimony was, and he had heard Walking Through the Land of Promise. And when he came back, he put that on YouTube. Now, I think that's fascinating to show you never know where that seed is going to grow. And that's all I had to say about that, Wild Bill.
Okay. Well, we're fixing to get into the song that was the one that first went big on the internet here, where you handed your album to someone, and so we're going to go right now into What Does the Word Say?
All right.
Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. John 15 and 5, the Lord says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Man named Solomon, who is he? The wisest king that ever be. A fly, a hornet, and a flea. He used to teach us reverently. Open the Bible, you will find he used animals of creeping kind to teach us wisdom and illustrate. No need to fall for the devil's bait. Nature teaches if we will listen. Everything has a certain lesson. Teach us. We want a blessing. Read the Bible every day. Read the Word and it will say. What does the Word say? What does the Word say?
What does the Word say?
If we are sheep, then what are goats? If ants are wise and iron floats, God's Word is seed. Our hearts are ground. Inside those words is wisdom found. What does the Word say? Song of Solomon, the Bible book. Let's open up and take a look. Chapter 2, verse 15, teach us a message. What does the Word say? Fox, the little fox, says he can spoil, destroy, and kill. Oh, me, it doesn't take much to agree. Look closer and you will see. What does the Word say? I know we want to stay alive, so let's read John 15 and 5. Jesus is a vine. We are the branches without the vine. What are the chances?
What does the Word say?
Jesus Christ the vine, you and me, those juicy grapes for all to see. The love of God flows beautifully. The fruit of the Spirit, full and free. What does the Word say?
What does the Word say?
Watch out for that little fox we hear. Should we give up? Should we fear? Let's find the reason, make it clear. How the little foxes make us beware. Dog will chase you all the way home. A fox will tell you all alone. A dog will chase you all the way home. A fox will tell you all alone. He'll pounce on you, tear you apart. Like the devil when he has your heart. Little fox, he runs, but seldom straight. Like the devil lies, twists love and hate. Little fox pretends that he is dead. All the time he's still alive instead.
question. What does the word say?
What does the word say?
What does the word say?
He drains the sweetness from the fruit, bruises falls in his pursuit.
He knows how to look real cute. He don't wear no devil suit. What does the word say?
This lesson can change your destiny. The devil's little fox, you will see. It ain't no harm, this sin is small. Hear the warning call. Pick up your gospel gun right now. Shoot, little fox, you know how. Submit to God, humbly bow. You'll overcome, you'll put him down. What does the word say?
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 Pick up your gospel gun right now. Shoot, little fox, you know how. Submit to God, humbly bow. You'll overcome, you'll disallow.
What does the word say?
What does the word say?
Okay, Blog Talk Mom, there was a little bit of difference between the first songs we played and this song right here. Explain to everyone the process of how this came to be. You wrote the song. You got with Mr. Hewitt. He helped put your music together. But before that even happened, what put this in your heart to all of a sudden start to use a rhyme type thing with your music? Just sort of walk us through that.
Well, very briefly, and I alluded to it before, but I am 80, and I have been teaching as far as I can ever look back. You know, it seemed like that's what I wanted to do. But there was a time that after I'd been in Detroit, I don't know if it was 11 or 12 years old, whatever, I had an incident that caused me to go into a type of trauma. And my mom rented out apartments in her house, and she rented to a family that their children went to school in St. Louis, Missouri, to a private school. And so she made arrangements and sent me there, which was a tremendously unusual experience. But the one experience I had before I was expelled was they took a group of us, this wasn't supposed to be, we didn't get permission, but we went down by that big river, and it was, as far as you could see, there were people living in pasteboard boxes. They called them shanty towns. They have other names for it, river people. And God was going to do something. Sister Casey said she felt like that is exactly where I received my call to do what I do, and, you know, from the Lord. And I went in this one big box that we went in, and a friend was playing the accordion. Well, I didn't talk that I can remember, and I certainly didn't sing. And they began to sing the words of victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me, and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. Now the Spirit of Almighty God quickened that to me, and I began to sing louder than all of them put together, like scared him. It was really cute. But anyway, that was the beginning of me realizing, even without me mentally realizing, spiritually realizing that God reaches as far out as there's a need. Then later on, outreach, I've always liked to, you know, go out, pass out tracts, knock on doors, teach Bible studies. I've been so blessed through the years with things like that. But I was thinking of some of my very best friends that came to the Lord through those types of things. But I wasn't singing, and wasn't any part of it at that particular point in my life. That was just teaching the Word of God and following the Word of God and working it, going to jails and prisons and all kinds of places like that to teach the Word of God. That was the whole thing. That was my desire. Well, in the middle of that, when I did the radio broadcast, is when the Lord sort of placed it on my heart to go ahead and make a recording, and it just opened up. It was not any, it was there. just like the rap came about later. But all of the time that I taught, I knew that, like, the devil is a sly old fox. If I could catch him, I'd put him in a box. You know, just little things. Lock the door and throw away the key. You know, and kids would throw away the key. And, you know, we had the wise man built his house on the rock. I couldn't, wanted to learn the books of the Bible. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts, the letter of Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. You went all the way through that. So I already was aware and used to seeing how music and rhythm and little things like that could really open young people up, me, anybody, to listen and to learn and to really grasp it, like you mentioned earlier. And so when I had much, much later had the opportunity with Reverend Linda Kaiser to go to Rankin Inlet in Upper Northwest Territory, they spoke the Inuit language. They're Inuit people. I think it was Inuktitut was the language. And they were wonderful. It was just a wonderful experience. But Sister Kaiser decided to write one of their courses down in phonetically in their language, not just us singing it. And we did, and it broke open a connection. It was something you just have to see. The night that we did it, when we began saying, "What a mighty God we serve," but it was good to God on the Uvo. I mean, we went through that. They were out of their seat. They were worshiping. They were just was drawn to us. And all of these things were my teaching and training that that the Lord was giving me, and a desire to use that different ways. So I was back here. It's been, you know, several years ago. And I wanted to go to inner city Jackson and work in that area. And it was wintertime, whatever. And when I went out there, I was doing my PowerPoint, my puppets, and everyone. I did my program that I do with I have a store that I bring stuff, and they get women prizes. They were sweet, but they were not interested. I was not connecting. And I really understand the power of connection. And so, I mean, you can have the best vehicle in the world, and if you don't connect it with some gasoline, you're not going anywhere. You know, there's got to be some connections. So I thought, well, what will I do? So I think it was the next week I was going to teach on the prodigal son. Whatever it was, I was going to teach on it. And I always had a little song, you know, to teach my memory verse. And I just started rapping. And I thought, what? I mean, I couldn't figure out what was going on, because I got this little beat and I'm rapping, you know. And I thought, well, so I got all of my memory verses and my lessons down, and I put them together in a rap beat, and it was, I can't recall exactly what they were, but anyway, I didn't know what to do, and so it had snowed and I got wet, snowy and. So, which is rare for Mississippi. But I went to the beauty shop, this little beauty shop that I went to, and there was this booming noise, and everybody was, like, not happy. And anyway, Brother Jordan had just opened up his studio right in the very next room, next over in the, it was like a series of buildings. And when I found out what it was, I went over there and I asked him, I said, you know, can you help me? And he was so pleased to know that I wanted to rap, you know, because I don't look the part at all. And so I got all my words down, and we met. And 1 week later, 1 week, that is supernatural, we had the Uh-Huh album. And it was just so, so sweet and so wonderful to be able to share it. And the Lord led me through several stages of it, to teach me what I was not supposed to do. He gave me two visions and led me to scripture, gave me the choice. It was my choice. He didn't tell me I had to do anything anyway. It was my choice. But he showed me what, through the word of God, people that had made the wrong choice, how they were led by the enemy and even influenced other people to be hurt and led to the enemy camp. So I just obeyed the Lord, and several big name, I'm not going to name their names, television stars and programs, so there are five altogether. Let's say three, just in case I can't remember. But anyway, they contacted me and were very, very kind, and I was very kind, and told them I appreciate it. I was a compliment, but I wasn't interested. And that, it wasn't hard to do. You know, God, He's God. He's the one that gives you the desire to do it the right way and then the power to obey. That will wrap. I don't know if you noticed it. Uh-huh. So was there anything else about that you had in mind?
I want to go ahead and play a couple more of your songs. I was going to go ahead and play Clap Your Hands and I'm Wise. And then I'd like you to come back and explain, because there was about a two-year gap there from when this first started, and explain the process of what you were facing during the initial part of this when you first put it out, and then explain what happened a couple of years later. So does that sound good? I'll play those two songs and we'll come back.
Sure. Yes, absolutely.
All right. First one we're going to do is Clap Your Hands, then we're going to do I'm Wise.
Jesus, I'm glad I got you. I don't know what I would do. You're my rock, my friend too. Holding my hand, I'm gonna stand, Something done happened in my heart. I'm not foolish, now I'm smart. Praising each day right from the start. I'm gonna win. You took my sin. Thinking Sam made me so sad. It wasn't cool to be so bad. Fighting and crying was what I had. Now I'm free, got the victory. Satan, well, he comes around, invites me where I once was bound. I tell him just what I found. Laugh with glee while he has to flee. Living for Jesus, can't stay still. Finding his way is in his will. Living for Jesus, can't stay still. Finding the way is in his will. Clap my hands and leap for joy. Clap my hands, leap for joy. Clap my hands and leap for joy. So living for Jesus, I can't stand still. No living for Jesus, I can't stand still. Finding his way is in his will. And hear what Jesus say. He's my rock and he's the way. Lift me up from the miry clay. Plant my feet on the rock to stay. I'm wise, I'm wise. I'm wise, I'm wise. One day I was not too smart. Jesus in my heart. Then a storm tore me apart. Devil stabbed me with a fiery dart. Slipping and a sliding. Slipping and a sliding. Building on sand, yeah, that was me. The rain and the flood and the winds, all three. I was a fool, don't you agree? Stand on sand when the rock was free.
Kind of go through the questions I asked, and then if you got any scripture reading, we'll talk about those songs, what they meant to you and how they went together, just whatever you feel to share.
Well, I didn't complete. Everything went really good with Brother Jordan. We got the rap ready. But when I went back to my next class, the children were, it was one of the most beautiful experiences. They came around me. They wanted to, I had the little store I set up. They wanted to work in it and earn certain points. And it was just a total breakthrough, total breakthrough. And then other places that I've used it, it's been like that. Brother Copeland in North Little Rock has been probably one of the most greatest encouragers as far as letting me come to his church and doing a youth service, and then his youth help get me things to give to the homeless people. So that was really, really, really a wonderful experience. There's at first there was the people were, you know, prosperity, money, and fame are the things that people admire, and that's what, you know, it's like a tremendous blessing. And you know, you get a new Cadillac, that's one thing. You get a flat tire, that's something else. You know, we have ways of gauging things. And so it took a period of time for everyone to sort of see where I was coming from what God had told me not to go the way, that way, and that he would use it in the way that he wanted to use it, which he has. And the first album was the one, there's just a lot of negativity that came around about that, but God overcame it all and kept me focused totally on his will for my life. And it's in depth. It's a very beautiful illustration. He led me to the stories about Balaam. It actually gave me a vision. I don't know how to describe things like that, but as I studied Balaam again, as I had taught and studied it for years, and it says in the book of Jude that Balaam wanted to take the gifts of God for profit. And I know even more every day that the abilities that God has given me are gifts. They're not anything about Sister Lively. There's nothing, literally. They are gifts that God has implanted in me to help me reach those that God has set apart for me to be a witness to. That song, I'm Wise, if you read those scriptures, you're either wise or you're foolish. You know, you can't, that doesn't mean that you may not always have all of the wisdom in a situation, but Psalms 119 says that I have declared my way. You know, I've repented. I've come to God. And God, you heard me. Now, teach me. Make me to understand. Give me understanding. These are things that God wants to give us. He, if we're available, then he will do it. And he uses this rap to teach his word. There, right at the very beginning, I will write about the time it changed and went viral. I had a surgery, really scary, the way, you know, the way it was described to the what all could happen. And when I went back, I guess for a checkup, I don't remember the exact dating on it, but the nurse practitioner handed me her phone. It was a video on that. All three of her children, they'd gone on a trip and they were listening to my rap. And when it would go off, they'd say, "Play it again, Mom. Play it again, Mom." And I've had other children, like 4 or 5 years old, would see me at another church or another meeting and run up to me, and they could rap what, you know, was in the song. That's the seed. That's the word of God. I'm not teaching them how to rap. God's not reaching them to try to get them to rap. He's teaching them his word in a way that they will understand it and retain it. So I don't know if I went another direction with that, but do you have another question?
No, I just really wanted to really get down to the dirt of this, because a lot of people, they have dreams and desires of things they want to do for God, but they look at the end result without allowing God to let them take the steps to get there. And so, you know, as we know, you were 74 when you first recorded this, and you've been very kind, but there were some people that were very, very mean to you about how they didn't think it was of God. They thought this was wrong. They thought you had lost your mind. And I can remember you reaching out to me, and I used to do a crime prevention education program, and it didn't seem to really reach the kids until all of a sudden they realized that I also race cars. And something about the racing in the car transcended the barriers between me and those people. And that's what you did with this music. It transcended barriers to go in, but it still wasn't popular. It still wasn't easy. It still wasn't something that was just widely accepted. But then one day you walked up to a man and you said, "I'd like to give you this." And he played it in his car. He made a video of it. He posted it. And how long from that time he did that did it take for it to go viral?
I think almost immediately from the time Keith did that, I didn't know anything about it. Like, you know, when people said I went viral, I didn't know if I had an infection or, you know, I'm not really hip on a lot of that kind of stuff. People laugh about that. But what you were
But there was tens and thousands of hits that were coming in, you know, that just, God has a timing for things. And so sometimes you may be doing what you're supposed to do, and you're wanting the result instantly, but sometimes you got to wait and let God have his way. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead and say
no,
what you're
going to say. No, that's good. I love that. And that's what it is. It's about him. And we're vessels in his, we're a yielded vessel. And I thank the Lord for the church that I attend. My pastor and the pastor's wife, which we call her First Lady, she was determined that no one was going to reject me, and so it's not a negative thing, but they had a large ladies meeting, and it was like it was huge, big church in Byram, and I attended there, and Brother Jordan had given me a new soundtrack. We had never really been able to get together as usual. But anyway, he was there. That's his church, and he put it together. And there were three, I believe three, maybe more groups of the people that are in what's called recovery situations. They're these homes, and they're wonderful places. And they were there. And then Sister Peggy made it sure that I was on the schedule to rap. And when we did it, the Spirit of God just moved, and the altars filled up. And so that was what it was about. I've already been in the place where I can see how quickly it can become about me, and it doesn't work then. It just doesn't. And we can go to pride with Lucifer. You know, it does not work. It's not about us. If anything works, It's because God anoints it, and He is the He's everything. God is God, and I am so thankful for that, because you know I would hate to be like Balaam and have to have donkeys running around talking to me, and maybe so stupid I didn't even know donkeys weren't supposed to talk. That was a funny story when I read that. So, but I've had people really be extremely supportive, prayerful, and the doors have opened accordingly. Now with COVID, naturally, seemingly that I can't go to any of the places, like I mentioned, prison, jails, nursing homes, even the street now. I can't get out there and do that. But this can reach out. This is the Word of God. And I ask and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for this program tonight. And I ask everyone that's listening, please just say, would you like to listen to a rap? Take them to YouTube on their phone. And they got it, all four albums. So thank you, Wild Bill, again. I do appreciate it.
Well, we thank you so much for doing this and for sharing this with us. And I also saw the thing. It was really funny when it went viral. All of a sudden, a lot of people started seeing dollar signs. And they were thinking, oh, man, we're going to build church campuses. You know, we're going to do all these things. And it's just, it's nothing bad. It's just our minds. You know, we're seeing God's blessings in the way we want to see it sometimes. And we don't take time to ask God, is this where you want it to go? And you alluded to where you had been invited to be on several prestigious talk shows and for talent shows and things to share what it was that you had. And part of that process is you got to give them rights to do with it what they want to do with it. And you felt that that was not definitely something that you wanted to do, because especially in this day and time we live, they can take something spiritual and make it into something really ugly if they want to. And so you stayed away from that. But even now you still have confrontation with people like, oh, I think that's, you know, ungodly and it's bad. But like I've always shared with you, it's not for them. You know, it's meant for, like you talked about, these people that were, you know, had these problems coming from these homes to do with drug addictions and, you know, from bad, you know, spousal situations and jail situations. And, you know, when they heard these songs, it moved them in a way that nothing else could. It went through the barriers. So we're going to play two more songs here. We're going to come up to, let's see, I stopped with my eyes. We're going to do Wake Up and Prodigal Son Left next, which is one of my favorites. I love that. And then we'll come back and let you share about those songs a little bit and talk more about, you know, what you want to share about all this. So did you have anything you want to say before there, Blog Talk Mom?
One of the things, since we're on that particular subject of me making the right decision, I had gone to Arkansas, and it was just before it really went big. And I was actually, I would set up when I had church services, and I would sell the album for, I think, $5. And I had a book. I have my book, and I would sell it. And, you know, that's what ministers do when they go to certain kind of meetings in the church. But the Lord was going to tell me not to sell, not to ever take, I could take a donation, but I couldn't solicit a donation, and I couldn't sell it. He did not want me to sell it for anything. So it was a miraculous way the Lord began to provide in ways that were just, it was really something. But anyway, I'm going down the road, and I'd been handing out the albums all along. I'd see a park, and I'd go, and I'd hand them out. And so, and the Lord impressed on me to turn in there. And I didn't want to turn in there. And I know that you think, well, if you heard God, surely you wouldn't be that stupid. But, you know, you have this little debating season there where, is this really the Lord? Is that my own whatever? And so I thought, well, Lord, if you really want me to, you know, it's only certain places I could turn. And if you really want me to turn, help me to know. And all of a sudden, right where I was going to turn left, right after that was a whiteout rain just hit. If I was going to not turn, I was going to go right into a storm. So I turned, I went over to the church, went towards the back, and they had a big limousine or whatever. I thought maybe whatever. I didn't know if I was going to be asked to do some kind of program or something. But anyway, the man walked out. He was the pastor, and he looked at me, and he said, do not sign anything. And I just looked at him because I didn't know what he was talking about. He repeated it over and over, pointing at me. Do not sign anything. There was a few other words, and then I got back in the car. The whiteout was over with. I drove on, and the very first thing that I was going to be, I did not have any idea that I was being interviewed by a company that was going to use what they had come to the service and saw me do, and they were going to use it. And which, you know, I know they do that on YouTube, but anyway, at the close of everything, the gentleman walked over and he said, "Would you sign this paper?" And I said, "I'm sorry, I can't." And he smiled from ear to ear. So I know that the enemy right there, and God prepared me. He will prepare us if we'll listen. And that's over 9 times, I believe. I don't know how many times in the book of Revelation. He that has an ear to hear. That doesn't mean that appendage on the side of our head. That means our mind, our spirit. Will we listen when God speaks? Okay, play whatever you would like to.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to come up now with Wake Up and Prodigal Son.
There was a man who had two sons. One worked hard till the job was done. The other said he would have none. He'd rather play and have some fun.
Uh-huh.
Was this a happy family? A problem I can see. One road leads to misery. Ask yourself which one's like me.
Uh-huh.
The happy-go-lucky son had said, give me my cash before I'm dead. Get your choice, the father said, but this, my son, will cause you dread.
The younger man
went so far away, he parted wildly, night and day. Guess what happened when his cash was gone? He found himself left all alone. Hungry, dirty, the price for greed. He got a job, stinky, pigs to feed. The worst job ever, yes indeed. Oink, oink, they all agreed.
Uh-huh.
This wasn't play, just food for a day, Oh, nasty, nasty pig. But now I know what I can do. I said, gimme, and got a zoo. Now, father, make me just like you. I'll tell my father what a fool I've been. Wound up broken in a pig pen. I'll work hard if he'll let me stay. I won't ever go away. I'm not worthy his son to be. He headed home in misery. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. He didn't scoff.
His
heart was filled with love and joy. All he could see was his wandering boy. He ran to him with welcome arms, so thankful he's not been harmed. Let's have a party, let's celebrate. My son's alive, I just can't wait. Bring forth the robe, the family ring. Play the music, laugh and sing. Your heavenly father loves you more. Look up, he's standing at the door. If you will open up to him, he'll fill your spirit to the brim. He'll restore your life of sin. His love for you will never end. He'll restore your life of sin. His love for you will never end.
I love that song. It just it's pretty much self-explanatory where you got that from in the Bible. But this is something I've always wanted to ask you. When you actually heard the completed music, you know, you did your words and you described before when you was with us about the whole production process, but what did you think the first time you heard it with the lyrics and the music together?
I was extremely, overwhelmed to think that it would be that good, because it was like a gift. It was like God was giving me way beyond anything that I had really imagined that it would be, because it was very professional, extremely professional. And not that he wasn't professional, but I didn't know him. I didn't know Brother Jordan at the time. And I didn't know that, you know, what it was going to be, because he just had it. And I felt the presence of the Lord, the witness of the Spirit of the Lord. I would share it. I began sharing it like I did with the gentleman that put it on Twitter. I would go different places and give them out. And people were running back, want my autograph, things like that. And God let me have just a like a little taste, because that makes you feel good. I mean, that I'm, you know, it makes you feel good to be admired, or I don't know, it was just a feeling. But while I was having the feeling of feeling good, it was sort of like if you eat something that doesn't agree with you, you know, it might have tasted good, but you don't want to ever eat it anymore. You know, it was a feeling, but I didn't want that feeling. Compared to what I knew about the Lord, I did not want that feeling. I wasn't going to trade that. And I would tell people that, you know, not in an ugly way or anything. And I just had some precious experiences that way. So the Lord shifted it then. Instead of wanting my autograph and wanting this big display of this other thing, he began to open doors in every denomination that I knew people, and they began to give it out. And that was what God wanted. It was such a blessing. And I was asked to speak in their churches, and we didn't have the same doctrine, but they recognized that it was reaching out. The recovery, we have a ACTS class, alcohol chemical treatment sessions, and this was the one I'd hoped we could do with Brother Mark, because Brother Mark's story of over 30 years of being addicted and his life, and now that he's one of the hardest workers in our church, is so fascinating and so encouraging. His testimony, I'm going to go forward, and what he has already gone forward through has been an inspiration to literally everyone that knows him. He is it's an amazing work that God has done. And so we worked with that. And he was for a period of time.
We're going to take next week to go on with the other half of the albums, because we're getting down to just the last 10 minutes. So we won't have time to do it all this week. And that's why I didn't want you to feel stressed or pressured that we had to go through it all tonight, because I do want to go through the list of songs that you had and let you share the different things that go along with it, because I think that's important. There's a lot of people today. Well, I mean, you can go all the way back to Moses. You know, it's like, here he was raised up as a prince of Egypt, and all of a sudden his excuse is, I can't speak well. He was highly educated. Speaking well was not that man's problem. You know, he didn't want to do what God was asking him to do on his own. And so God gave him someone to come help him. Now, I could be wrong about that. He could have had something wrong with his speech, but I really don't believe it from all the things that came after that. If he did, God healed him from it somewhere along the way. But I believe it was mental more than it was a actual impediment that he could speak. But I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I did want to let you know you don't have to try to fit everything in the last few minutes, because we are going to come back with the second half of this next week.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know. I'm getting my second opportunity. Thank you.
Well, I want this to be told to be able to minister to people. I want it to be something that, because we post these links on Facebook, and we share them with people off and on at different times, because there's a lot of people out there that they're probably making excuses. I wish I could do something like that, but I can't. But they don't realize it doesn't start at what they see at the end. That 2 years that you had of going through a lot of ridicule, it was reaching out to the people you intended it to reach to, but it wasn't really something that was very popular among a lot of the church people, because it wasn't the norm. It didn't fit in. And then just to comprehend that it wasn't meant for them, and then for God to take it and make it go viral. I don't remember how many countries it was heard in. And just like I say, it was thousands of people per day more that the count was going up. It was listening to where that man posted that on YouTube, what does the word say? And it was fascinating to watch how fast. I mean, people that didn't even know who you were coming to me that knew me and were saying, did you realize what this is doing? Have you seen the numbers, what's going up on this? You know, they'd look at one number before church, and they'd look again after church, and it may have went up 10,000 more listens. I mean, it was just, God has a way of doing things that when you allow him to do it, it's always right. And when I found in my life, when I try to put my hands to fix it, yeah, God says, here, just have it, you know. let's see how far you go with that. And then you learn your test and you come back and you take it again the second time and you do much better than what you did the first time. And you have learned a balance too with the people wanting autographs, not to be a something of fame, but it does mean something. Like when I get a book at a church service or something like that, I'd like them to sign it, you know, just to show that I actually met the person who wrote the book. You know, I saw the person that put it together, not because I want something for something of fame, but I just want to be able to show that I knew that person. But anyway, I'm rattling a whole lot more than what I meant to, and time is clicking away. Did you have anything else you wanted to share about those last two songs?
Well, I wanted to say that about the autograph. Yes, I have. I would have a station for my book, and I would sign the book. But that, it wasn't what they offered. It was how I was receiving it. If you, it's very a fine line. And if we study pride, pride has so many faces, and Satan he's got a plot. You know, I've talked about that to Sister Casey's sermon at our church. Satan has a plot, but God has a plan. And if we go to Satan's plot, we're going to miss God's plan. And pride is, it has many faces. So anyway, that's what I wanted to say, that as you brought out each one of these, it's very obvious to people that know the Word of God that it is the Word of God. It's coming to the story. They naturally can get into the Word and find out a whole lot more about it. But most of them, I either quote the scripture or, you know, I have something in there beforehand to let them know where in the Word that I'm receiving that, what I'm saying following that. So is that, did that make sense a little bit?
Yeah, it did. It really did. We're coming up on the end here. I think my beautiful wife has something she'd like to add. I think you're on the air there, Starla.
You hear me?
Yep. Hello.
Oh, I just wanted to,
Hello?
Oh, okay. I just wanted to say how much I love and appreciate you so very much for your witness and your testimony and following the leading of the Lord. And you are such an inspiration to me, and I cannot tell you how much you mean and your witness means to me. Your testimony is unfathomable. It just, the stories that you tell, how the Lord has led you and you have followed, even if he had to redirect your path to get you on the right path, it is amazing, the hand of God on your life. And it is a testimony to me. It's just amazing. And it has really touched me tonight to hear the different stories, how God has led you through this journey. And it's just amazing. And thank you so much for sharing this.
Well, I really deeply appreciate your words. I'm not just saying that. That to have my family see and be a part of this is my greatest desire, because it is, you know, we're family. Like the church is the family of God, and we're not only, and you know, all of us, but we are in the family of God. So it's like a ministry for all of us. And I really appreciate it. I love the Word of God, and I just there's no way that as I listen to some of these this evening to try to get a direction from the Lord, and I thought, wow, that really blessed me. I don't remember which one it was, but it was, I got real happy just thinking about how God let it come together with Brother Jordan, with every part of it, him, because he didn't keep that studio. That was just that one little period of time. And so it is directed by the Lord. And I wanted to, is the time up, Wild Bill?
Go ahead, it's up, but don't worry about it. I think it still records.
Well, I wanted, okay, if anybody listens to it in the archive, I would like to say this prayer. Lord, we thank you and praise you that you have designed for this to happen. We thank you from the bottom of our heart in agreement, Lord, two agreeing, three agreeing, whoever would listen. And we ask, Lord, that those that would hear this at whatever time, that the message would continue to go and they would be changed and inspired and drawn. Exalt your word in this. We give it to you, and all glory and all honor to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. And next week, Blog Talk Mom, when we come back, we're actually going to be starting with one of your favorites, and you got a lot of message to go with that, and that's Space Like Flint. And so just to sort of give you a narrative of where we're going to come back into it with your actual music. And actually now you have, how many albums do you have of the rap
four.
Variety?
Four. There's four albums. The second one, What Does the Word Say? It's the word of God to music. It's not actually the rap beat.
Yeah.
Singing the words, the title of it.
Well, we want to thank you so much for sharing. And I give you a little warning. Next week, I want you to go back a little bit and talk about, because whenever you get to the point where you're in my life, I've learned wherever you get to walking from victory to victory, I've had a stage in my life where I have walked from loss to loss and failed test to failed test before I got there. And so I give you a little warning. I don't want people to think that, you know, you've always had this thing to where you knew exactly what you were supposed to do. I get tickled. A preacher say they always knew what they were supposed to do in every situation. And I think, yeah, but how many of those times did you not do it? And you learned from taking the wrong step. And I'm not going to take you down a path. I don't expect you to go back, but I just want you to share that you weren't always in the truth. You didn't always actually understand the plan of salvation. You know, we were searching. We had issues in our lives. And, you know, there was things to overcome before it got there. And, you know, like I say, I'm not wanting you to have to throw up a whole lot of dirt or anything like that, but just I want people to understand that this is a process of living for God. You know, some people seem to get on an interstate and they just seem to never look back, and then others, especially I'm talking about me now, I get hung up on little side roads, and I'm like, how did I get here? And God's like, yeah, I'd like to know that too, because that wasn't the way I led you to go. So is that okay, Blog Talk Mom, to kind of go back there and talk
sure.
about that a little bit?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we hope everyone's blessed by this, and we're going to be sharing this, and we encourage everyone that listens to do the same. I really pray that this blesses and encourages someone. And I've heard all these songs and Blog Talk Mom, it blessed me going through and listening to them with you. There's something about doing that together like you were talking about. So we'll be back here next week with part two. We pray God blesses each and every one of you. Y'all have a blessed night. Goodbye.